I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so
fun.
And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part. Hello.
Hi, Hannah.
How are you?
Oh.
I was going for a ditty.
Hello. Oh, I like the ditty.
Hello, Victoria. How are you?
Ditty woman. I like this. I like the
ditty
woman.
Very
serious there. Walking down the podcast, ditty woman.
How art thou?
Yes. Very fine, thank you.
Very fine.
How are you?
That's what we strive for, very fine. Oh, Doug's off. Early in the podcast.
I'm absolutely fine. We have just made it through Storm Isha, which I believe your Irish family have been hit hard by.
Really affected. How do they get the names? Just ignore this barking dog in the background. How do they get the names?
I think they go through the alphabet, but I don't know how they decide on the names. Is it like, I know that there's some, like, hurricanes are men, storms are women. I don't know. It's like French. They're gendered. Le storm. La hurricane. Sorry to anyone that speaks French.
If you could be any weather form, what would you be?
Great question. Really good question.
I'm so glad you asked.
Maybe I'd be snow. I feel like snow makes a lot of people happy.
Oh, that's really cute.
What about you?
I didn't really have an answer, but I don't know if there's one that's better than that.
I guess some people like hot.
people like sunshine, right?
What you been up to? What's your life updates?
I had a weekend of a lot of baking for vegan people. Yeah. Well, one's a baby, so she's kind of involuntarily vegan. Can't tolerate dairy.
Who can?
Me, all day long. She yeah. And so I dug out Phil Khoury's A New Way to Bake Again, and just, I know this is repeating ourselves, but what a great book. Like, it's honestly so good. I did the orange and polenta cake, which is great. You boil like a whole orange and you blitz it up. And then what's interesting is you make the cake mix with the polenta and the ground almond. So it's vegan and gluten-free. And I've made polenta cakes before, but in this one, you let the batter sit for like an hour, he says, to like soften the polenta.
Oh.
So actually when you eat it, it's really squidgy and not, because sometimes it can be a bit like crummy, can't it?
Crunchy, yeah.
And that's not great. That's not a vibe. But yeah, this one was really, really, really good. And then the other one that I did was the banana tatin cake thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I think maybe I had said in that podcast as one of the things that I wanted to make. And it was really delicious. You like, yeah, you lay the bananas down on the base of the cake tin and then just put the you put more banana in the batter. You go through like seven bananas or something, seven or eight. And yeah, it was really, really good. We got it with like, I got like vegan double cream. Coconut cola.
Nice.
Shout out. Great. And whipped it up. And then because it was kind of coconutty with the banana and the cake, delicious. And they were both like quite easy, really low maintenance. So yeah, it's just a plus one for a new way to bake. It's so good.
It's so good. He loves leaving the batter to rest. I feel like the Anzac cookies, you do that to like let it all, I guess, let the oats kind of soften or whatever. He started writing a column, or he has this month. He's had a column in The Guardian.
Oh, wow. That's so good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just for this month because it's Veganuary. It's January, but some people call it vegan.
What? They haven't renamed the Roman calendar after vegan.
Not yet. But the woke agenda says they might.
Can we keep nothing?
So if you don't have the book, then go and check him out on the Guardian, because that's fun.
Yes, I saw that Otto Lengi had, like, yeah, because I have to mention him. There's my contractual obligation fulfilled for this episode.
Thank you.
That he, like, brought him into the Otto Lengi test kitchen, and then he did, like, a demo on vegan baking, which I thought sounded great. What a man.
He's so talented. Like, I love him. I love that book.
Yeah.
I need him to make another one. I mean, obviously I can cook from that one. I've still got lots to cook, but
yeah.
I was just trying to see what it was. Such a good book. I'm glad that we're all still using it.
Yeah, it is interesting. I know we talk about the books that we come back to, but it is really interesting that stand the test of time. No, you don't.
I feel like my standout ones from last year, and obviously this isn't a recap episode, so let's not get too much into it.
It is now.
That, and I said it on the podcast before Christmas, but Table for Two.
Oh, yes.
Is by Bree Graham. It's just so good, man.
It is great. I would like her to do an entirely veggie book.
Yes.
While we're requesting, yes. You're requesting one from Phil Khoury, I'm requesting a veggie one from Bree Graham.
Did you see that, talking about entirely veggie books, Rukmini Iyer has a new book coming out that is veggie.
No way.
It's not one pan, but I think it's just called The Green Cookbook. And I saw her, she like announced the cover. Yes, thanks. And she said that a lot of the recipes in there are vegan and gluten-free as well. So that's good.
She's a machine, isn't she?
Mm, she is.
Anna Jones has a new one out too, I think. I got an email about it the other day.
Yes, I think I saw that.
Yeah, she said it's like 2 years in the making or something, and that she's, yeah, been really frazzled with it, but it sounds really good as well.
We barely get this podcast out, lads. I don't know how people like do things.
Still down. I mean, and
Hannah has a full-time job. I don't even have a full-time job.
You've got
I'm a
child.
Full-time mummy.
Yeah. But...
but we are not talking about, absolutely not talking about a vegan book today.
No, we're really not, actually.
Which is good for, you know, lots of people that don't eat, that do eat meat and other non-vegan things. We are talking about Bahari.
Bahari.
By Dina Mackey, which is fun.
Very fun. And Dina Mackey is a great name. Book.
Isn't it? And she has great hair. You know, put her on the great hair chef's list with Rav.
Yeah.
And
I feel like Molly Bowles probably has good hair, doesn't she?
Of course she does. Congratulations to Molly Bowles. She's having a baby.
Yeah. So Vic sent me this because I'm not on Instagram at the moment. And she sent me a link being like, oh, she's pregnant. And I didn't read the caption properly, but Molly Bowles made the caption as like she tagged her husband and then she said he put the lime in the coconut or something, wasn't it? Because that was the one of the recipes. Yeah. That was the recipe I made.
Yeah, the recipe
book.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let me just tell you,
Will or whatever his name was wasn't coming anywhere near me with his lime. I was putting that lime in the coconut all by myself.
Oh yeah. Will put his lime in my coconut.
Yeah, see? Absolutely not what you should do.
She's drinking a coconut.
Oh.
And then the emojis are lemon.
Yeah.
Coconut baby, exclamation mark.
Okay. Many layers to that
anyway,
one.
Congrats to her.
Much to break down. Yes, congrats. No, that is lovely.
Will it be a very aesthetic child?
What food analogy would you use to announce your pregnancy?
Great question. I mean, you could just go with bun in the oven, a classic of the game.
Would you tag Stephen and say he put his bun in my oven? Sorry.
It's so fun. Like,
it's very graphic.
It's such a weird thing, isn't it? Like, guys, we had sex. Like,
guess what happened?
Guys, we had a baby, and guess what? Yes, it's a bit like, you know, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's more than we ever need to know.
Let me think about how I would have announced my pregnancy. I didn't announce my pregnancy on social media. I didn't do that. But if I had my time again, I will let you know what I would say. I'll have a think about it.
You announced it on the podcast.
Do you have one stashed in there?
No.
Yeah, I think I did.
He put the jam in my donut.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Come on. That wasn't pre-prepared.
Really sorry to all of the listeners who have come to us also from a post from a bake shop in Memphis, which tagged us and then
thanks for made that, a by the way.
Yes, thank you for that. Muddy's Bake Shop. Thank you for tagging us. But you know, they did a little disclaimer saying that we swear, saying the Brits swear a lot. So I think maybe she's only talking about me.
Yeah, thanks.
So sorry about that. And sorry to all you, that's just got a lot worse.
Sorry.
Talking about
sorry.
Sex.
S-E-X on this podcast.
Anyway, Dina Mackey, she is, oh, this is weird now. I was like, I don't want to say anything about her. And
no, too close.
Dina Mackey, Bahari.
Yeah.
Great hair. She has great hair.
Yeah.
This is her first cookbook, but she is a prolific Instagram star and also a presenter. So she is, She's born and raised in the UK in a place called Portsmouth. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But she has, like, a Zanzibar and Omani heritage.
God.
And so this book is like a, it's essentially like an ode to Omani cuisine.
Yeah.
And almost like all of the things that got, kind of got her to where she is in terms of her family tree and also, you know, the kind of evolution of Oman's cooking and its history and stuff. It's a history lesson as well as a cooking lesson.
It's very rich on that front, isn't it? Lots of
yes,
little interludes yeah. with history and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yes, there's lots of stories. Lots of beautiful pictures from her childhood and her and of her in Oman, but also like her family all over the world, which God. Is beautiful.
Very beautiful.
I didn't know much about Oman, did you?
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Mighty, mighty good man.
Mighty, mighty, mighty good man.
I didn't. When I lived in the UAE, people used to go over to Oman for like hikes and drives and runs and stuff like that. I don't think I ever actually made it over, but it did look beautiful and I would like to go. Yeah, it looks really, really nice. Also, she just ever feels so boring. She's got Omani and Zanzibari heritage. Like, what? I'm just Irish.
What's your heritage?
Irish and Scottish. Two of the whitest, whitest. Drunkest. No, I'm joking.
There is a lot of people, you know, in, you know, America, frankly, that claim to have Irish and Scottish heritage who, you know, are incredibly cool.
True. I'm not saying anything about our coolness. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Exoticness I'm saying wise.
Yeah.
I'm not very
it's not
exotic.
Very exotic, but it is, you know, it is cool.
It is cool.
It's exotic to some people.
True, I suppose. Yeah. It's. I mean, we're funny, if nothing else. Oh you have God. To be.
Hilarious.
You don't have to be mad to work here, but it helps. Is there any more?
Funny to be Irish. Look, the Irish people are ruling this world. We've all seen Saltburn and, you know, Barry Keoghan, is it?
Yeah.
Is Irish.
Cillian Murphy.
There's
another
Paul
one.
Mescal.
Well, he's not winning any awards, is he?
That's another one. I just read. We were literally just having a conversation about Paul Mescal before we started recording. And I just read during that conversation that he's filming Gladiator Part 2.
Yeah. Well, he's got a big gladiator head, doesn't he? But in fun news, you know the lady from The Bear, the sous chef?
Yes, Sydney.
Sydney. She's apparently got Irish heritage that she's
No, that's
about.
A lie.
What?
I think that's some kind of twist. I saw that as well and I was really excited. But, well, maybe she does.
I'm such a boomer. Did I just believe something
I read on the internet? I saw it and I was like, oh. I saw someone be like, oh, great night for our, you know, Irish girls. Yeah. And it was like Barry Keoghan, Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Someone else?
Not
Paul Mescal, and then her, and I was like, hey? And then I went on her Wikipedia page and I couldn't find anything about her being Irish. And then I saw some people joking about it. I think it's just like they, you know, the Irish are claiming her.
Oh, well, we do like to do that with the good ones. I'd be proud. Damn.
She is, you know.
Very beautiful.
Beauts.
Yeah.
And.
Talented. Humble,
and like,
too.
So, you know. Oh,
God.
And you could just see, like, when you watch videos of her, like, and people interacting with her at all these, like, ceremonies, she's so well-liked.
Yeah, she's vibrant.
And Jeremy, what's his face, like, obviously just wants to kiss her. I'm like, we all want to kiss her.
Oh, do you think? Do you think there's a bit of chemistry?
Yeah.
In the show or real life?
Both.
Well, yeah, in the show there is something simmering there, isn't there?
Yeah.
He's busy
and
running around.
Frankly, I can't wait to let it to have it come off.
What, the Calvin Kleins?
Well, yes. Anyway.
Sorry. Bahari. We lost Vic for a minute there while she pictured the Calvin Klein ad.
thought about Jeremy Allen White. My beautiful and wonderful sister-in-law sent me a funny text just before Christmas with a picture of what I can only assume was supposed to be like a sexy picture of Jamie Oliver, suggesting that she was going to get it printed for me. For my wall.
Was he wearing clothes?
I think so. Oh, maybe God. Have like an undone, let me look it up.
An undone what? Apron?
He's one of those
chef's jackets. Ooh, can you imagine that? That would be gross.
Oh, no. It's not an old, it's like from a Times article recently. He's just like, he's like smouldering, like, you know, no socks. That's what's gone on. He's taking his socks off. He's got shoes.
Yeah, the most flesh we're getting there is a bit of ankle.
And then he's like got this, I'll put it on this.
Oh, smouldering expression there from Joe. Yeah, smouldering.
Looks a bit like, what's his face in that? Nope, can't think of his name. Right, Dina Mackey. It's really you guys really don't need a list of, you know, men that I'm attracted to.
Well, I think they do.
That's it. You've got to sign up to the Patreon for that, my friends. It's a mini sode.
Your top men three. In food.
My top three men in or women in food.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a tough one.
That is a tough one. We'll come back to you all on that. I know that you're all dying to know. I mean, does Jeremy Allen White count?
No. He wouldn't be up there for me, I don't think.
Well, that's okay. I mean, he's short. That's the problem.
Yeah. Little.
It's always the problem. Yeah. They're always short. Yeah. I mean, I'm complaining about that, and you should be the one complaining about that, really. All these celebs.
I would be with them if it weren't for the height. Had to knock so many back. Dina Mackey.
So, do you want me to tell you a little bit about her?
No. Yes, please.
So, like I said, she was born and raised in Portsmouth, which, for those of you who don't know, is on the south coast of England, of the UK. And she talks a lot about how, when she was growing up, because she had this really ingrained kind of culture with her mom and her dad of this Omani Zanzibar family. And she talks about how there was a, for some reason in Portsmouth, and she goes into this in the book, there's this community of Omani people that ended up settling there. And so she almost felt included in that, but she didn't grow up there. So she never quite knew where she belonged. She'd spend her summers in Oman and she'd see all her cousins and her friends. And they thought she was fun and cool because she had this English accent, but then she didn't feel like she fitted in there. So she's this kind of third culture kid that she just felt like she never fit in. And she wouldn't tell people. She went to this, her parents saved up and spent money that she says that they didn't really have to send her to quite a nice private school. Aww. And so she wouldn't say to her friends that she was going to Oman for the summer. She'd say she was going to Dubai because that was cool and wealthy and
wow.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But she grew up around this really, interesting Omani / Zanzibari family and culture. And she didn't really, obviously she would eat the food, but she didn't. She talks about how she didn't start to cook until she went to uni, and I think she went to uni in London.
Right.
And so I've read this story that she's told a couple of times in a couple of different articles and videos and stuff about how she moved away to uni, and then she had her first Ramadan without her mom and her nan,
right,
who I guess were big influences in her life. And she wanted to feel like close to them. So she'd like, she'd want to cook what they would cook usually like during Ramadan, I guess, and during iftar.
Yeah.
So she would get on the phone, she'd get on FaceTime. She's like, oh, how do you make this thing? And how do you make this thing? And how do I know if my lamb is cooked properly? And how do I do this? And how do I do this? And like, it was this kind of community thing. And she talks about how like, it was hard because I couldn't taste any of it.
Oh yeah.
So I had to like rely on my housemates, who, and she also says that she like lived with people who were from different parts of like the Middle East as well. Mm-hmm. So, and she, that helped her to kind of like lean into her heritage and her culture. And that's how she started to like learn to cook. And she says she realized that she loved cooking like for people and like giving people food through, you know, feeding her housemates and learning to cook with her nan.
That's so nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so she learned to cook. And then I think when she like left uni, she started up a Instagram page called Dine with Dina.
Genius.
Which, yeah, which is just her making, frankly, incredibly like high quality, informative, beautiful videos of her cooking and putting out recipes and stuff. And yeah. And she's like, she has like 45,000 followers on Instagram. And I think a lot of that shot up through the pandemic.
Nice.
Like people were staying home, like learning, you know, you're
new
wanting to cook
dishes,
fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And so she does, she kind of splits her time now, I think, between London and Oman.
Wow.
So she does supper clubs in both places. And I saw her do an interview with like Omani, I think it was Omani TV channel, and she's talking about when she cooks and does her supper clubs in Oman, she kind of brings all of her like Western, some of her like British, you know, Zanzibari kind of heritage into the dishes. But when she does it in the UK, she focuses a lot more like on the Oman, like Omani cuisine, which is, I guess, that's a great like, I guess, like thing to be able to like flex between.
Yeah.
Because she's like keeping her pulse, her finger on the pulse of both like cultures, I suppose, all the cultures. And I think it's just people love it. She's like incredibly passionate about putting Omani cuisine on the map.
Love that.
Getting people to learn about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we both said we don't really know much about Oman.
No.
And I think that she's really put that into this book. Like,
yes.
Hannah was saying, it's got all these like lovely stories. It has a whole like history of Oman at the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is amazing and like fun to read through. But like, you don't usually get that in cookbooks.
No.
It really reminded me, that bit specifically, and a lot of this actually in like the imagery and stuff reminded me of Jerusalem by Ottolenghi.
Yes. And Sami Tamimi. Yeah, 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 totally. Because it's all the, I guess they kind of, they know, if this is focused on a UK or Irish audience or whatever, they probably know that people are want to know more about the place.
Yes.
As well, right? Like, we were saying we wanted to do more books like this. You don't need another bloody, like, yeah. Tuscany cooking book, right, from some like white guy from God knows where, and this is just so nice to for something different, and then it's got all the kind of history wrapped up in it as well. It's really, really great. It's really, really interesting. So she's not even like, she hasn't been like a chef, or she's just like family taught. That's so cool.
Yeah. And she does she's on TV here quite a lot, like,
yeah,
she does Saturday morning the cooking shows, Saturday Kitchen quite often.
The ones we love
to
hate.
Consulting. Yeah. I haven't watched a Saturday morning like cooking show in ages. I caught a tiny bit of James Martin this last weekend. And it was not great. Oh, and then I tell you what I did watch, because I know you're all dying to know. I watched John Turode and Lisa, what's her face, going to Australia.
I don't like them on TV.
No. I think they've broken up.
Oh, God, really? Oh, that's awful.
I believe they've broken up.
Oh.
And I don't know if they're still recording stuff and they're, like, contractually obliged.
stray knife goes flying through the kitchen.
God, maybe that's, you know, not true and I'm just gossiping, but I feel like I heard that. But yeah,
ooh,
it was quite good, actually. I don't love either of them particularly, but they went to Perth. And, you know, I like to see people drinking nice Australian coffee and, you know, eating delicious food in sunny places. So
I want to go to Melbourne. I
can't complain.
I want to go to Melbourne and eat all the food. We should. And then we get to meet our lovely Australian listeners. Yes, we've said it many times. We should. Still waiting on that sponsorship from Qantas? I don't know.
We'll take it all. We'll take anything.
Get on it, RPR. We don't have one.
So what did you... Yes. Yeah, what other thoughts did you have about the book when you first got it? And I think we need to say here that the publisher, DK, I believe.
DK?
DK. kindly sent us this book to have a look at, but we are not... we can say what we want about it.
We can.
But they did kindly send it to us for free. So thank you.
Thanks, guys. What did I think? I thought it was beautiful. I thought there's a lot of meaty, fishy things is all, which made it a little bit hard to pick something. But there is veggie stuff in there. I think a lot of the baking stuff looks really interesting. Mm. There's like a toasted flour tart somewhere, which looks really cool. Cherries or something that's in it. And some of the breads and everything look great. I mean, frankly, even if it is meaty, I'm quite interested to see some of the combinations, like this like grape vinegar stewed lamb, like cool, like really cool stuff. That's it. Toasted flour date and cherry tartlets, they look great. She loves cardamom, I would say.
Yes.
Lots of cardamom. Cuban. Yeah, and coconut throughout.
She's wiped me out of cumin seeds.
How dare she? I just stumbled across something called a cup of curry, and that's just frankly quite fun to say. Cup of chameleon. Yes, very, very beautiful. There's a salmon, tamarind and aubergine curry, which I think looks great. A lot of tamarind too, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, there is. And she talks in the beginning, doesn't she? Like, she's got a really good section about, I think it's called Cook's Notes. And she talks about tamarind in there, about block versus paste.
Yes, and that's...
Which is fascinating.
It really is, because I didn't know. I've never really known, and I've not ever had... I don't think I've ever had both. Being able to buy both at the same time, so I've always had to go with what I could find. But then,
yeah,
I thought that was really interesting. She says like block is good because it like keeps longer in the fridge, and you just like soak it in water or whatever.
Go on.
No, I just really like the look of these sesame coconut flatbreads.
Yes, I keep seeing those and like them. Like she's got love. Good baking stuff. It's got an interesting structure, doesn't it? So there's like four sections. Muscat, interior, coasts,
and then Zanzibar. Yeah.
And is there one called Portsmouth?
Oh, is there?
Did I make that up? I feel like I said four, but maybe there's actually five. But so it's not like... Oh, yeah, I'm right, yeah. Portsmouth is the last one, so there's five. You don't just flick to the back to look for the desserts.
No.
Like each section has, like, a baking thing, some sweet things, different things. And they're all just based around,
Yes.
A different, like, because the, she talks about how Oman... It feels like an island because by one side of it is like cut off by the desert.
Yeah.
So it's like a sand sea. So there is that beautiful ocean, but then it is cut off from the other side. And obviously Zanzibar is an island and Portsmouth is an island too, like kind of.
Is it?
So I've been there, I think. Even if my brother went to university there, actually. I've been there. couple of times.
Is it very maritime? Maritimey?
Yes, North very Green. Maritimey.
That's a word. Definitely a word.
it's a really beautiful book.
Yes. Very interesting.
Yeah, the photography is gorgeous. Yeah. It's really like evocative, I think, of what I imagine Oman is. You can really get a feel for what it probably is like to be there.
Yeah, really. I just love weird, not weird things. Obviously, weird is really derogatory and rude, but just like new and different, interesting combinations. Deep fried potato balls. Yes.
Yeah. She's also unapologetic, and she doesn't really offer any substitutions, which frankly I love.
Yeah, I like that too.
And I appreciate that. She's like, this is what you need. Like, there's in the coast section. There's a lot of fish in this generally, but a lot of fish really is like whole fish. And it's not something that I'm ever going to cook, but I appreciate that she hasn't toned that down for me.
Why? And why should she?
Why should she? Who am I?
You do you.
Dina. Yeah. Dina. So what did you make? Let's hear it.
What did I make? Hannah? I made two things and they were good and I made them and I ate them.
Can you rap the rest of the show?
Would we call that a rap? I don't know if we would.
It's a bit more musical theatery.
Yes. Yeah.
I loved it though.
I tasked my boyfriend Tom with picking what we ate. And he just landed on one bread dish with nothing else to go into it. But it was the honeycomb bread on page 57, Kaliat Nahal, which is a beautiful round, the photo is this beautiful round tear and share bread that it's in kind of a honeycomb shape and it's like scattered with like black and white sesame seeds. And inside, there's like three parts of the recipe. There's like the dough.
What's inside?
Thank you.
Whole cheese is in there.
You put the lime in the coconut. Sorry.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's the syrup.
Stephen put cheese in my Kaliat Nahal.
As you started that sentence, I wasn't sure if you were going to finish it, but you did. Well done. Yes, so there's like the bread dough, there's the syrup, and there's the filling. And basically, you make the syrup first. Now, this went a little bit wrong for me. You make this syrup. What?
I was just going to say, surprise. I also made this.
Oh, I didn't even let you come up for air. I was just banging on.
What you did? You let me, you know, make a weird innuendo about Kaliat Nahal.
Oh my God. I didn't really think this would be your thing because of the cream cheese.
Yes. And I have things to say about the cream cheese.
Oh.
No, I don't have anything to say about the cream cheese. I've got a lot to say about the fucking syrup.
Yes.
Cream cheese is not for me, but otherwise, loved it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So the syrup.
The syrup is strange. So it's sugar, honey, juice of half an orange, and 4 cardamom pods. Crushed, of course. Crushed, much like me, by the end of making the syrup. But it's... Yeah, you just put everything into a saucepan. And she says, place over high heat and bring to the boil. Once it starts bubbling, boil for exactly 10 minutes, which I thought was, like, really long at the time. For just, like, a syrup that you're going to brush over something. And I did it, like, perfectly to the minute. Or the second. And then, of course, because it'd been boiling for ages, it just formed like a rock-hard caramel. Is that what happened to you as well? Mm.
No, I didn't make it to 10 minutes because it burnt.
Oh.
And my pan was ruined.
Is it ruined?
Yeah. And I felt... I set all the fire alarms off.
Oh, no.
In the house.
Oh, no.
Because it was like... And I was just like, I'm trusting the process. I'm just going to let it go. And... I shouldn't have done that because it was just slowly. Because she says not to stir it as well.
Yeah. I just felt like it was like a... I know it's not a misprint, but I'm really intrigued what was meant to happen. Because normally we've made like... When we've developed recipes and stuff, we've made syrups to brush on. And usually we just like... It's just like till the sugar dissolves, right? And it's kind of goopy. Yes. And that's effectively just what I did the second time around. I remade it and I just kind of did it for like a couple of minutes till I could see that the texture was like nice and brushable.
Same. It's, so RIP to my pan, but, and also I'd pretty much run out of caster sugar.
Oh no.
By this point.
So that's the caster sugar, the cumin, the coconut, the cardamom.
I know. I'm Bill Dina Mackey.
Like home Mother Hubbard there with nothing in her cupboard.
So I did make it again, but I made it on like a quarter of the size. Because also it's a big amount of syrup.
Yeah.
A big amount of syrup. It's a good sentence. It's a lot of syrup. So, and I knew I definitely wouldn't want all of that, even if I had made it right.
No, I didn't use it all.
So yeah, I just made a little one. Smells and tastes beautiful though. Like made the house, even the burnt one made the house smell lovely.
Burnt orange and cardamom syrup. But after that, it was like, it was fine after that. So it's like you have warm milk, you put yeast in there, and then you combine flour, sugar, eggs. So it's an enriched dough. You add in the milk and yeast, and then she says to mix it in for 10 to 12 minutes in a mixer, which is quite a long time. My mixer is so loud as well. It's like... Because it can't really handle like those kind of tougher doughs. So then it rises for an hour and a half. And then you like... You divide the dough into 20 little pieces, which is quite a lot as well. I didn't eat...
It's a big...
All of it. Yeah. I froze some of it after. But yeah, it's a big arse recipe.
Everything in this book... I think is big. Like the other thing I made is a really big recipe as well. Ooh. I mean, I guess just made for a crowd, but yeah,
like big kind of family meals. But then you get these 20 even sized pieces, and then you press in a little bit of mozzarella and the cream cheese in the middle. So she says to use about 5 to 10 grams of each. You don't want to overfill. I feel like my filling was very, very irregular. There was some ended up like really cheesy and some ended up like they were basically just bread. I was quite...
Well, that's the surprise.
Because at first, you know, when you just like take a while to get into the groove of working with it, right? Like it was like, first one is like, oh God, there's too much. And then, yeah, it just... And then there was 20 and then I was getting bored. And anyway, I've got no patience whatsoever. Anyway... So you make sure they're all filled and then you let them rise again. She says to do them, she says to use a pizza tray. I don't have one. So I did it in like a rectangular tray. So I don't have that lovely round shape that she does, but they're still delicious. And then they rise again for 30 to 45 minutes. You bake them, before you bake them, you brush a little milk over and sprinkle over sesame seeds. And then they baked beautifully for me. Like that whole dough thing, was was fine, I guess. But no, it was perfect. And then she's very emphatic about that the cooled syrup should go over the hot bread as soon as they come out of the oven. And she says you can brush it on if you don't want too much, which I did. And then, yeah, she says the syrup was
seeded. He put his cooled syrup
onto the hot bread. Hot buns. And then you sprinkle over sea salt. And then, yeah, she says to let them cool for like 10 minutes and serve while they're still warm, which I did. But they were great. But I definitely, yeah, I wouldn't have used that whole syrup.
No. And I'm sure that, you know, some people prefer that like very sweet.
Yeah.
She talks about how it like soaks into the dough, but I didn't want that, I don't think. I liked the just the kind of...
bit of a taste.
Yeah, the little touch of the sweet, because the syrup's lovely.
Yeah.
I wish I'd thought about something else to use it on, but it is really, really nice.
Yeah. They like that in a lot of Middle Eastern foods, don't they? Because isn't like canafe that like... pastry with the kind of angel hair pastry.
It's cheese in the middle, right?
Cheese, and then it's like a honey kind of glaze on it. That's like definitely a thing. Honey and cheese.
It's like a My dough was incredibly sticky.
Oh, was it?
Like and I think maybe I just didn't. I think that the disaster with the syrup maybe threw me off my game for the rest of what I was doing. And maybe I didn't knead it for long enough.
Right.
I need you.
need you.
But it worked fine. It was just incredibly difficult to, like, work with. Like, when I was making it into balls and that. I was, like, you know, adding lots of flour and wetting my hands and stuff. But it was fine. We got there in the end. I ended up making like two smaller breads. I've got like a big wide Le Creuset cast iron thing. So I did one in that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they would all fit in that, but they
No, they're quite
didn't.
Big, yeah.
Because she says to like use, like leave some space so they can like
rise, grow.
Rise up. So I did two. So I did get two circles, but yeah, loved it. I really liked this. I did. It was. I love an enriched dough.
Me too. I love an enriched dough. Me.
I love it.
They yes, they were really good. I definitely would like to do them again and like make sure I'm more even and consistent with my filling. And I felt like I think it was easier for me to kind of not shape the dough into a ball when I was shaping them, to just kind of have it a bit flat and then tuck the cheese in the middle and then kind of shape the ball around that. I'm doing like a wrapping motion that nobody can see.
Yeah.
but yeah, so I feel like you could tweak and you could get really good at them and be a total pro. And it'd be so nice with like herbs and stuff in there too. I know that's probably not traditional, but yeah, I feel like you could play around with them.
You could play with it, yeah. And I think... I was just actually thinking about how, like, what about some, like, hot honey on the mozzarella inside?
Oh, yes.
Could be nice.
Hot honey.
And then it's, like, a little bit spicy. Because I think that was my... I like mozzarella fine. Mm. I like it. It's... Like, I like it. I'm not a hater, but the cream cheese just didn't do it for me. It was too... They were both too, like...
Mild.
It's too, like, very mildy, cheesy taste.
Yeah.
And I don't like the texture of cream cheese, particularly on its own. Yeah. So I think if I did it again, I would leave the cream cheese out. I'd put the mozzarella in. That was nice.
Yeah.
I'd
love another cheese in there. Mm. Not a third one, but like maybe replacing the cream cheese. Yeah, something just a bit stronger. But we did, or I did, not the royal we, I actually made a dip to go with this. So
dip, bitches.
This. Because, obviously the bread had been selected and it was kind of like, well, we just can't have just bread for dinner. Let's find something to have with it. So we saw this Mum's Mohamara.
I'd just like to say to everyone listening, she says this, but just before we pressed record, Hannah went to get a snack. And I was like, what are you eating? And she was, it was just a hunk of bread and butter.
I love bread and butter, as we know. What's great about that is that I couldn't eat all the bread because the butter was just on the top part, and then I just left the other half of it down, and Doug just sat at the bottom of my bed and munched on the rest of the bread. We're just the perfect pair. He finishes everything that I don't want. So Mum's Mohamara. I've had Mohamara before. Sorry if I'm saying it wrong, but it's charred red pepper dip. And this is really, really simple, and it went really well with the bread, actually. So you char some peppers. She says over a flame. I did it under the grill because I did not want to set off my fire alarm.
Under the grill. under the grill. Where it is hot.
Lovely.
It's better under the grill.
Keep going.
That's all I got. So what are you getting?
Is he grilling until
I'm not licensed to sing that song. Disney will be after me. It'll be the second time I mention them.
Oh, but you're all right to slander John Turow to this. What's her face?
That's literally propaganda. It's like sponsored by Trail Finders. Like, it's just an advert.
So you blacken the onions, peppers, you peel off the skin and take away the seeds, and then you blitz that pepper flesh, I don't like saying flesh, with all the remaining ingredients, which are date syrup, pomegranate molasses, walnuts, olive oil, cumin, ding ding, chili flakes, garlic and salt, and then you blitz it, but not like too smooth. She says you want like the walnuts to be small crumb sized pieces so you still have some texture. And that's it, and then you just transfer it to a plate or bowl. Your choice. You can, whatever dish you want. And drizzle over some date syrup. Now, Hannah couldn't find date syrup. which was Hannah. Unfortunate. Yeah. Crystal Palace Sainsbury's fails me again. But you scatter over parsley, pomegranate seeds and crushed walnuts. And yes, we have like a nice, I did like a board with the bowl of the Mohamara and then the honeycomb of the bread around. That was a great
that's
meal.
That's fancy.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was quite nice. Because there's just a lot of flavour from those peppers after they've been roasted. And a little bit of chilli. Yeah, there's a tablespoon of dried chilli flakes. And they're just, that recipe isn't too huge, actually. She says it serves 4 to 6, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't loads. I guess just as a dip. Not as your main meal, like we chose to have it. But loved that. And I would definitely make that again. I'd make that whole meal again, actually, probably. It'd be quite nice if you're...
Nice.
Entertaining. Yes.
Ooh.
And we love to entertain.
We love to entertain.
So you made the honeycomb bread also. Did you eat that on its own?
Bread. Yes. I took it. Yes.
Yes.
Goodbye. yes. Hannah said it's massive.
Mm.
But luckily, I was going to my in-laws that day, so yes. I got to take it there. But I took it all, and I came back the next day with half, left.
Wow.
That I brought home, and I was like,
I can't get rid of this.
And actually, I got back quite late, and I essentially was cooking this next dish whilst munching on the bread because I was so hungry, like waiting to eat my dinner because I was cooking this. So it was a lifesaver. Great, warmed up in the air fryer.
Everything is.
It really is. Yes, so that was good. So then I made another dish that I couldn't not make.
Ooh.
And for reasons I will explain.
Huh?
So when this book arrived at my home, my mother-in-law was actually here. So it arrived a few weeks ago and she was here. It was just the two of us. I don't know why that was the case, but it was. And I opened it. I was like, oh, look, this book's nice. Have a look. And she looked through it. And my husband and his mom have Zanzibari heritage. So Stephen, my husband, his grandmother was from Zanzibar, from Tanzania and Zanzibar. And Stephen's mom grew up in Uganda, so like just next door. And so she was like, she loved this, but she was like looking through like, oh my God, there's these, and like I was sat there with her when, you know, saw she got excited. Because I didn't know that it had all this stuff in, like, all the stuff that, you know, she just recognised. There's these, like, she's got samosas in there, which are called sambusas, which is what Steve's mom, Naz, calls them. There is... Oh, I can't find them. There's these little donuts.
Oh, mandazi.
Right? The mandazi,
I literally just opened the page to them. They look so good.
They are. And, yeah, Steve's mom makes them all the time, and they are so delicious. Oh, and,
I want to make
them. You know, because they're just donuts, and they just come fresh out, and, they're great. So, yes, and then we found the palau, which is like a... Which is a palau, you know, a palau, like a rice dish.
Yeah.
And a little bit more context here is that family parties on my husband's side are, there's always a palau. Everyone loves it. Mm. Everyone's very excited about it. And it looks and is pretty much exactly this recipe. And it's like everybody talks about like what's the best palau and like what do you do to it? And like sometimes it's chicken and sometimes it's lamb. And, you know, it's a, you know, there's always, and then if we don't make it to a family party, there's always someone who's like, oh, we bought you some, because Stephen loves palau. And he's like, oh, I've bought you some palau. So I was like, I can't not give it a go.
Have you made it before? So, have you ever given it a go before? No.
No. Okay. Not.
Bit of pressure then.
Like, Steve, huge pressure. Steve's mom has made it in our house while I've like been there, and she's like tried to teach me before.
Right.
And I think, and like their spices that they use, like she made me a little thing of them, but I've never properly like sat and done it. Frankly, because they do it so well. Yeah. It's like, why would I mess with success?
It's broke.
But I was like, we've got this. So without further ado, I will tell you a little bit about this. So again, a massive... So I started off cooking this in one pot and I had to move it to two because I don't have a giant... pot, because you cook the rice and the chicken and everything together, so I had to split it over two.
Yeah.
So you heat 120 mils of vegetable oil over a medium high, and then add the onion. And can I say,
you can.
I love the way Africans, Indians caramelize onions. You're just, it's just more oil and higher heat.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of like, you know, the Italian or the French way where you're sat there for like 3 hours where, like trying to caramelize onions. Love it. Love that. So you've got like a finely diced onion. You chuck that in until it's translucent. And then you stir in all the spices and some garlic paste. So the spices are 3 tablespoons of cumin seeds, 2 tablespoons of black peppercorns, 2 cinnamon sticks, 8 crushed cardamom pods,
oof,
6 cloves,
ooh,
and then 2 tablespoons of garlic paste.
Okay.
And she also says in her little cook's notes, right, about pastes. She's like, I use pastes because I don't, because I come from a family of people that want things done for them and they're easier.
I
just love that.
Yeah. Honestly, those garlic and ginger paste are so, such a time
so
saver.
So good. So you cook for that for like 2 to 3 minutes. It smells amazing.
Mm.
And then you add potatoes and chicken. So it's 4 medium or large potatoes peeled and quartered. And then she says whole chicken, about 1.5 kilograms. Skin removed, or you can use pre-cut skinless pieces of your choice on the bone. So
right.
I used like chicken drumsticks and took all the skin off them, and put them in.
Okay.
Right. Lovely. So put that in with the potatoes, fry for another 8 to 10 minutes, I guess just to like brown off the chicken. And then you add lots of water. So 825 mils of water. And some salt, bring to the boil, and then you like, let that bubble and boil away until the chicken's cooked.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes. Yeah. And then after about 20 minutes, you add rice in to the saucepan.
Okay.
It's 350 grams of basmati rice that you've rinsed. Boil it. Oh, you also had some raisins, 50 grams of raisins. You boil, wait for the water to come to the boil, and then reduce the heat to low, and then you cover the pan with your lid for your pan, but you cover it with a tea towel so all the steam in there.
Nice.
And then you just kind of leave it to cook. She says 30 minutes until the chicken, potatoes and rice are cooked through. And that's it.
Ready
to go.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite a dry dish, right? Like if you think about like maybe like palaos that you've had before, or like it's not like a curry, like it's not saucy at all.
Yeah.
So she says you have to serve it with her catch cumber salad. I didn't. Sorry. Sorry, Dina. I didn't. And also bananas, which I think is funny. And I really need to ask my mother-in-law about this. She says that when you get palau on like the East African coast, people always give you a banana with it.
Oh.
And I've not heard that before. I also didn't eat with a banana, but I could have. I really liked it. Oh. I thought it was great. It tasted like, for me, like bang on.
Yeah.
Pretty much bang on what I was used to.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of peppercorns, like two tablespoons of peppercorns is a lot.
Are they crushed?
And that's what Steven said as well. No, you just chuck them in. Oof. So you do get like the bite of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that because it adds like because it's not a particularly like spicy dish.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like spiced, obviously. So but I quite like that little crunch and that. But then when Stephen tried it, he was like,
too much.
Yeah, it's a bit. That's not my thing.
Right.
But obviously, it's just personal preference.
Yeah.
But otherwise, loved it. Thought it was bang on. I am a saucy girl, as we all know.
She put slime in the coconut.
Yeah. So I think it does need like a sauce.
Yeah.
And when we have it at family parties, famously, my friend and Stephen's cousin Asher.
Yeah.
Her dad makes this sauce that I love so much to go with palau. That I love it so much, and he knows that I love it so much that he brings me extra every time he makes it.
Aww.
Like he'll bring, you know, some for the party, and then he'll bring an extra jar for me to take home.
That's so cute.
And it's so good. It's like I think it's quite a closely guarded secret, but it's I believe it's sour cream, coriander, and green chilies.
Wow.
All like whizzed up.
Nice.
Oh, and it's so good. I love it. So shout out to that. I don't think it's traditional.
Who needs tradition?
But, who needs tradition? Because it's so good. And then when I have it in the house, I just put it on everything, like as you can imagine. Anyway, so shout out to Uncle Adrian for doing that for me. But yes, it's great. And it massive portion. We had it for like dinner, lunch the next day, and there was still so much left over.
Wow.
And I was going to freeze it, but then I couldn't because it had been out. And anyway, but yeah. And I sent a picture to Steve's mom. She didn't get to try it, but she was like, oh my God, it looks amazing. Aww. Well done. So
the next test is doing it for her.
Yeah. I know. I will let you know if I do that. But loved it. And I think that if you eat chicken and you like that kind of thing, like it's definitely worth it. Maybe, you know, half the portions, especially if you don't have a giant pot. But it's delicious and
it's kind of
like not spicy and stuff. So yeah, that's the palau.
I find those palaus quite like miraculous. You know what I mean? That they don't like burn, the bottom doesn't burn, and they're like,
yeah.
And because the meat is on the bone, then I guess like some of the like juices or the flavor from the meat kind of absorbs into the rice. They're just like, I don't know, they just seem quite cool.
Yeah, you're right. And special. Like it's, you know, yes, you, I guess you have to get it right. If you leave it cooking for too long, it would stick and burn.
Yeah.
But and the other way around, like that's happened to me before. And when you do like a, you know, a rice dish that you leave,
yeah,
and then you get out and the rice is raw and you're like,
oh yeah, it's rice, it's so tricky. Anything else that caught your eye that you wanted to make?
Yeah, loads actually. The tuna kebabs, which are like a croquette with tuna in and like all the spices. Love that. Never seen a tuna croquette kebab.
No, that's...
She calls them kebabs, but they're more like a croquette.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I love that. Almost made them, but didn't, obviously. The pakora scotch eggs.
I saw them. They look so good. They look so fun. Really clever.
So they're like, imagine a scotch egg for listeners, a scotch egg, and then, but instead of like just a breaded coating, it's almost, yeah, it's a pakora, or like a bit like an onion bargee, yeah. Like all like strands of vegetables deep fried. Oh,
so they look
great. Also, I really like the story that goes with those. She talks about like her nan coming to the UK, seeing scotch eggs, realizing that's a similar thing to what they had in Oman, and she was like really excited, so she'd buy them every day, only to realize that they're made with pork and not beef, they would be in Oman. And she'd been eating all this pork, which she doesn't eat, which
God,
I thought was funny. But yeah, they look great. And then you mentioned them before, but those sesame coconut flatbreads,
yes,
just look so good.
Yeah, so many.
How about you?
Yeah, the savory spring onion and green chili pancakes. As we know, any spring onion pancake in a book, and I'm like, what? Mm. Those beignets, actually, the mandazi that that Naz makes, I think they sound so good. The deep fried potato balls, they've got like spices through them, like chili powder, garlic powder, turmeric, coriander. I bet they're just really delicious. And the batter is a gram flour, which I think would be fun. All the flatbreads really kind of appeal to me. There's the coconut chapati. It's a great looking cake with plantain or banana, coconut and cardamom. And it looks like another upside down
of course.
Guy. And yeah, delicious, of course. Yeah, all of our favourite things. Shall we rate?
Yes. Oh, you already said about that salmon and tamarind curry with aubergine. Love that.
I feel like every time I leaf through, I find something new.
Yeah, it's a really good one, and it's really different and special, and would recommend. Well, we'll talk about it now, but I would.
let me tell you about our rating system.
Please.
We haven't rated in a while, have we?
Let's dust off our ratings.
I mean, you know, I was always so fresh on them anyway. Every episode, we rate the book out of 5 criteria, and they are usability and accessibility. That's one. Ingredients used, are they easy to find? Blah 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 blah. Aesthetics, veggie friendliness, and last one is inspirability. And for each cook or book or chef, we change what we rate out of based on something that we've noticed throughout the book. And so for Dina, of course, we have to rate out of cumin, coconut and cardamom, because they are everywhere, and Vic doesn't have any anymore, so we have to we're just writing her shopping list every time that we repeat them.
Extra sugar.
So Vic, how many cumin, coconut and cardamom are you giving Bahari out of 5?
So, usability and accessibility, that's one. I'm giving it 1.
Okay.
1 cardamom, cumin and coconut.
Yeah.
Because whilst, it's all very simple.
Yeah.
Quite easy to do. Yeah. I didn't find anything difficult. So that's good. Ingredients used, I'm giving it 1/2. Because whilst I used to have everything, cumin seeds included, and I could get stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff is not that easy. Like I said, for about whole fish, like you couldn't find date syrup.
Yeah. I couldn't find a date.
You're off the market now. That Mara had had like pomegranate molasses. I'm not sure I would be able to find that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there is, you know, some very easy
stuff.
To find.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I'm giving that half. Aesthetics, one. We've talked about it. It's beautiful. It's got really beautiful photography, etc. Veggie friendly, I'm not giving it a point.
No, I'm afraid not.
Because it's just not. It's not.
No. Especially for a mains. It's like it's the Alison Roman of the, you're never having a main kind of dish that's veggie, really.
Like you're forced into having a girl dinner of just side dishes.
Yeah. Which I mean is fine by me, but, and it's not in the culture, right? You can't like force stuff in that's not there, but yeah. A fair warning.
And inspirability, I'm giving it one because I like you were saying, like it's difficult to find stuff that you're like, oh,
yeah.
Like it all looks great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It all looks lovely, especially because I currently, if you've listened to our last episode, I currently eat meat. Who knows where we'll go from here. But yeah, so that is 3.5 cumin, cardamom and coconuts out of 5.
Nice.
How about you?
Exactly the same. The
we're on a level.
Oh, we're just so in sync. The yes, ingredients used just because I couldn't get the date syrup. And even like, I guess I had to get pomegranate seeds for the mohamara and they're expensive, you know? So even if it's like you can get them, it's pricey stuff occasionally. But yeah, as you said, there's plenty of dishes that just have normal things. And then, yeah, the veggie friendliness, I definitely would struggle a little bit. But yeah, like I said, that's just the case sometimes. And she's obviously being really true to all the different regions that are represented. So, yeah, so 3.5 cumin, coconut and cardamoms out of 5 for me too.
Woohoo!
What a fun book.
Oh,
and just really,
shout out, Dina.
Yeah, really, really cool and beautiful. And you learn things.
Ooh, yes, you learn things.
We didn't mention the garlic and za'atar focaccia, which obviously is like up my street.
Yeah, that looks great. I think that's in the Portsmouth section, right? I also really like, she has like a leftover Christmas dinner shawarma.
Yeah, 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 genius.
Which looks great. Again, another funny story about, attached to that, about how like her cousins came for Christmas and were like, this is what you eat for Christmas dinner. And so like her mom was like embarrassed or whatever.
Aww.
And then decided to whip up shawarma with leftover turkey and all stuff, which frankly sounds great.
Yeah, it does. So thank you, Dina, for this book, and thank you, DK, for sending this book, and thank you, Vic, for reading this book and cooking from this book and experiencing
you,
this book with me.
Oh, thank you, Hannah, for just existing and just being great.
I'm not even going to pretend that I'm going to be self-deprecating about that. You're welcome.
Good. That's the right answer.
I've been doing my affirmations. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. Nine, beautiful.
Yes, thank you for listening. We love you very much.
We do. And we'll be
back. And we'll see you next time.
Soon. What will it be? Nobody knows. We don't know. You don't know.
Literally nobody knows. We told you we were struggling. And nobody's come to our rescue. These podcasts are a cry for help, I'll be honest.
Tap, tap. Please. SOS is the Morse code. Thank you for listening and we love you and bye.
We love you. Have a great time. Bye.
Have a great time.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.